Your host, Ben Korn.
I want to start off this next segment by making a point to point out
and Chris Walter.
That Ben Korn loves to say point for the decimal points that he's reading.
I think it's important that people know that it's 0.375.
And now it's time for Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
About who the owl is joining up.
Who's on first?
Who the owl is
who's on first?
Fantasy Baseball Weekly, thank you so much for joining us. We are recording this podcast on June 20th, 2015. With me today is our friend Chris Walter.
Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing great because I've got this new animal staring at me.
So Ben, I've been thinking.
Okay.
What does every great podcast have that we're missing so far?
Knowledge?
Yes! Okay, yeah. But I mean, besides that.
Multiple TVs?
We could have that.
Okay.
But no. What we need to really take this podcast next level, we need a mascot.
Okay.
So, I'm introducing to you.
Feel free to check out Fantasy Baseball Weekly on Twitter. That's Fantasy BB Weekly to see a picture of our new mascot, who reminds me of a psycho owl.
I mean, some people say he's creepy. I say he's cuddly. But yes, this is Who's on First, the owl.
So we can just call him
Who for short.
Who.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're joined by a third member of the team. Nope. I mean, of course, producer Rick is always here because he's producing, but Who is kind of sitting in the actual process here. So
yeah, he's gonna watch over us and make sure that no birds eat our fruit.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Who's on first?
But to talk about a little bit of baseball.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Do you have any exciting baseball knowledge to bring to the table besides who?
No knowledge. No, not at all.
Okay.
But just a funny week in baseball, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show with our, we'll call them hot takes, can we?
Do we
have three hot takes coming up?
Oh, yeah, I like hot takes. No, I don't at all.
I was going to say, you hate hot takes. Yeah. That's why we're going to call it hot takes. No, did you see D. Gordon in his basically giving up a third strike?
I did not see that.
It's a funny video because he gets confused on the count, and then he sort of goes for a bunt and just pulls it back really lazily and basically just watches strike three go right down the middle of the plate and just stares at it.
He's like, I'm waiting for my next pitch. They're like, no, you're not getting the next pitch.
Yeah, it's a funny video. Because then he looks around like, what? What do you mean, strike three? He was pretty confused.
Sounds like I need to watch more SportsCenter.
Yeah, you should. SportsCenter.
Maybe YouTube videos?
Sure. I'd say that might be on YouTube, yeah.
Okay. And was there another interesting...
There's always funny stuff in baseball. But yeah, did you hear about the Salt Lake City fans that went to the Astros game?
No, I did not hear about them.
So, yeah, I'm struggling to find an article. I don't know if it's pulled off online. But I did see a little clip on MLB TV about it. Basically, the worst fan sign ever created.
I mean, it sounds like it's the best sign ever created.
Well, it depends on the angle you're going for, the best. It was Salt Lake City fans.
Yep.
They're from Utah.
Okay.
And so they abbreviated. It was a small sign. They didn't have a lot of space. So they abbreviated
Salt Lake, Utah.
Yeah. S-L-U-T for Astros.
Oh, the U-T is the...
Is Utah.
Wow, the slut.
Yeah.
For Utah.
Yeah, and I don't know much about Utah, but I think it's the opposite of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, the times that I've been in Utah, I can't say I've seen many of that type of person.
Right.
But I will go back to Utah and find what I can find.
I'm just wondering if it was pure naivety. Like these.
I mean, it seems weird that they would have the UT, and then they didn't include the C for Salt Lake City. They just said Salt Lake, Utah.
So maybe they knew what they were doing.
But I'm just glad that that made TV. Like, they're like, yes, I want to put this sign on TV immediately.
Sluts for Utah.
Because that somehow is not against the rules of modern TV, is putting these signs on TV that say what they want to say.
It was a good time. Yeah. So those were my standouts for the week, Ben.
My standouts were Jake Mariznick going down and on the 15-day DL with a left hamstring issue. We'll get to that. Aaron Sanchez going down. I mean, there's a lot of injuries. A lot of guys being put on the paternity list. There's a lot of babies being popped out right now.
Yeah, it's summertime, man. June babies, that's when it happens.
June babies, man. I'm excited, but I say we just maybe dive into the news.
Let's dive.
All right, and now for the news.
Are you guys ready for the news with Chris Welter? Well, here it is. Take it away, Chris.
Now we have the news. Ben, kick it off.
The Astros.
Jake Marisnyk placed on the 15-day DL with a left hamstring issue. I would say this is a big issue, but Jake Marisnyk got hot early in the season. He's not very hot anymore. And Luis Valbuena, boom! 16 home runs.
Whoa, you scared Who the Owl there.
Who was staring at me? That's why I had to come at him.
The Braves.
Released Trevor Cahill.
The Reds.
Activated Marlon Byrd from the 15-day DL. I've never been a big fan of Marlon Byrd, but he did hit a home run in his first game back.
The Tigers.
Activated Victor Martinez from the 15-day DL.
The Blue Jays.
Devin Travis looks to finally be coming back this week as he was sent on rehab assignment on Thursday. Good news for Ben Korn, that's me. Aaron Sanchez placed on a 15-day DL with the right lateral strain. That'll hurt the already struggling Blue Jays rotation.
The Texas Rangers.
Anthony Renato, former Boston Red Sox young talent, called up and down for the Rangers. He was impressive, though, and should be back sooner than later.
The Royals.
Placed Yordano Ventura on the DL with a right ulnar nerve inflammation. Do we have a doctor in the house? Do we know what the right ulnar nerve inflammation is?
I don't know. This is definitely a new problem. Usually you hear UCL sprain or maybe forearm tightness, something like that. So, this could be them just making something up that while they check to see if he needs Tommy John.
Ooh.
But all in all, it's terrible, terrible news for Yordano Ventura and the Royals.
So I was looking on our waiver wire and Yordano had found his way into the waiver area. From your opinion, is this a opportunity to pick him up or should you just let him sit for a little while?
I don't think so. I mean, if you have a DL spot to use, sure, go for it. But he's been bad all year. So what can you really hope for when he returns? I don't see anything positive coming of this.
All right. Let me break out my first hot take of the day.
For a guy who hates hot takes, you drop a lot of hot takes.
Sometimes you got to drop some hot takes.
All right.
You're Donald Ventura. He was the ace for the Kansas City Royals coming into the season. If he's going to be an ace for the Kansas City Royals, that means he's got some talent. That means somebody thought he was good. I think that we're going to see Yordano Ventura come back from this 15-day DL stint a new man, a changed man, a man that's going to strike people out like I thought he was going to do. I, for one, am picking up Yordano Ventura. I don't know about you, Chris.
Wow, you're on an island with that one. I mean, Yordano's delivery, his form, just screams Tommy John surgery. So this is really not a surprise that now his UCL is hurting. I really think this will end in Tommy John.
The Marlin Wayans.
Placed Martin Prado on the 15-day DL with a right shoulder sprain.
The Red Sox.
Recalled Travis Shaw from minors with Heath Hembree going on the DL. Travis Shaw, another good long ball talent. If he gets placed in a decent spot in the rotation, the lineup, you might be okay, but Travis Shaw's been sitting in the 7, 8, 9 spots. I wouldn't consider him fantasy relevant today.
The Nationals.
Doug Fister is back. How did I get all the super short clips of the news here? I'm barely saying 4 words.
What would you like to say about Doug Fister, Chris?
That he's terrible, so who gives a shit?
The Indians. Dots, not feathers. I mean, feathers, not dots.
Call up Jeff Manship to replace Sean Markham, who got torn up this week. Nothing to note here, except for I just really wanted to say Jeff Manship.
Yeah, you got really excited by that Manship.
He's got a cool name.
The Rockies.
Corey Dickerson, the big dick, is back on the DL with plantar fasciitis. This is not a good thing. Everything you hear from doctors say, plantar fasciitis doesn't go away quickly, so he'll probably be struggling with it for the rest of the season. I'd consider trading him. In a responsive move, the Rockies called up Justin Miller. The most intriguing thing about Justin is he's 38 years old and is covered in tattoos. Not fantasy relevant, unless you get points for age or lack of original skin color.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, we will be tweeting out a picture of Justin Miller as well. He is quite the animal.
That caught me off guard. I hadn't read that through yet.
Ooh, the Dodgers.
Activated Scott Van Slyke from the 15-day DL. Makes things more confusing in the outfield.
Okay, I take it back. Now I'm getting all the really long, confusing ones.
The Braves.
Call up Yuri Perez from the Gwinnett Braves. Can add steals to your fantasy team, but won't be an everyday starter. He plays the outfield. The Braves also called up Ryan LaVarnway from the same Gwinnett Braves. Not much fantasy relevant here, but a former Red Sox catcher that continues to try and make it to the majors. Good job, Ryan. Keep on fighting, you boost.
He's a beast, that guy.
The Cubbies.
Brought up Kyle Schwarber from the Tennessee Smokies. Note to fantasy owners, this is a move for DH purposes during interleague play. He played very well, but don't jump on the bandwagon unless it seems he might stay for a while. And right now, I don't see him staying for a while.
I haven't seen a report, but he should be back in the minors this week.
The Orioles.
They brought up Chris Parmalee from the Norfolk Tides. Could be up for a while, batting in the two hole, which is Ben's favorite hole.
Hello!
Having a crazy season compared to his previous numbers, we will dive deeper into Parmalee later in the show. That's called a tease, ladies and gentlemen.
Are we going to go swimming later?
Sure, I brought my trunks.
The Diamondbacks.
Place Ender Inciarte on the 15-day DL. For those holding an AJ Pollock and Jake Lamb, this is huge news. It opens up the leadoff spot for AJ and the two spot for Jakey, and most likely everyday play for both. And also for those people holding Yasmani Tomas and Chris Owings, I guess that's good for them as well.
It's great news for Yasmani Tomas. He needs more playing time.
The Giants.
Gene Machi and Matt Cain are in the minors on rehab assignments. I would monitor their activity in the minors because both could be fantasy relevant immediately. Ben wrote that. I disagree about Gene Machi.
The Texas Rangers.
As my hot take number two in the news... I do not have a hot take on that.
You can't have multiple hot takes in the news. You hate hot takes.
Delino DeShields placed on the 15-day DL with hamstring issues. Shin Soo Chu is back to hitting leadoff for the Rangers, which means the Rangers are back to sucking.
Get out your trunks. We're going swimming. The deep dive on Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Chris Parmalee. You may know him from his 3 home runs and 4 games in the majors this season. I like him because he's hitting in the two hole for the Orioles. Things haven't always been so rosy for Chris in his previous lives in Major League Baseball. He played with Minnesota for 4 years, logging 812 at-bats compared to just 16 so far with the Orioles. His slugging percentage prior to this year was .701. With the Orioles, it's 1.405. His average was .249 compared to this year's .375. He would strike out 1 in every 4 at-bats, which is twice what he is doing right now. Let's call this what it really is, a hot streak. But Chris Parmalee has made some nice progress, and I think he will be better than his numbers in Minnesota indicate.
This is producer Rick, and you're listening to Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
I want to start off this next segment by making a point to point out that Ben Korn loves to say point for the decimal points that he's reading.
I think it's important that people know that it's .375.
All right, you trumped me on that joke. I thought I had you there.
You're welcome.
All right, so what are we doing in this segment here? I think we're doing Ben's least favorite thing in the world, 3 hot takes.
I love to not do hot takes.
Well, that's too bad because you made this segment and it's happening.
Okay, so the idea, I'll take back control of the reins here, okay? The idea behind this is that we talk about 3 topics that have come up in the world over the last week because you're listening to Fantasy Baseball Weekly. And just give our input on what's happening. So I'll read the topic. You give me what you think, and I'll contradict you or agree with you. Whatever I'm feeling.
All right, shoot.
I don't know if you're familiar with somebody named Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah, he's Big Fat's little brother.
Yeah, he's a third baseman for the Boston Red Sox, and he was taking a dump this week. Yeah, that's not been verified, but he was in the restroom in the seventh inning stretch, and he decided to start liking girls' pictures on Instagram.
Right, right. I did hear about this, yeah.
He subsequently was then not allowed to play in the following game because that violated the social media rules that the Boston Red Sox have implemented. What's your thoughts? Do you think that he should be suspended for one game for liking girls on Instagram?
You know, I was fine with that punishment. Obviously, we all take the cell phone into the bathroom. Let's be real here. The world of newspapers and magazine racks in your toiletry area is just not happening anymore. So everyone does that. The problem here is how bad the Red Sox have been, how much media pressure has been on them to step up their game and their focus. So the timing was so poor by Pablo. Like, what are you doing? And probably my favorite part was he was kind of just trying to find a loose girl in Atlanta to hook up with, right?
See, I mean he's got good ideas.
He's sort of like, he's like,
I just liked your photo. What about you getting in touch with me?
He's like, you're big, I'm big. Let's make a big night.
You know, I'm with you on that, Chris. My thing is that, you know, just like you were saying, it's like if he had a magazine in the toilet, this would be no big deal. But because he's looking at pictures on the phone and made the stupid decision to actually, like, prove that he's on his phone in the toilet by liking something, that violated some rules that they've implemented. But if you're Pablo Sandoval, you are performing work, with air quotes. I don't know if they can see my air quotes. Mm-hmm. You're performing work for 3 hours, maybe a day. I think during that 3 hours, since you're making multi-million dollars, you can put your phone away and spend the $2 on the local newspaper.
Can
just
you
bring
though?
That in? I think he can afford it.
I can't tell you the last time I pooped without my phone. I don't even like
you. Don't make a lot of money, Chris. He has enough money where he can find a local paper and pay the 50 cents for it at the local stop.
Yeah, I guess it would be a bigger issue for me if he was doing it in the dugout or something like that. I think they just needed to punish him to show that they're doing something about it. But this would not be a big deal. I was surprised though to find the MLB has a rule on this. And you actually can't, it was illegal by the MLB for him to do it too. You can't use your phone after the first pitch.
Well, that's what I think is the biggest issue, is that you're not supposed to have your phone.
Right.
If you were out doing a marketing event, could you be on your phone in the middle of it? No. And you're only getting paid like 20 bucks an hour.
But am I on my phone during it? Yes. Usually.
And you should be fired. If I was your boss, I would fire you immediately.
The rules say no, but we all bend those rules.
Next point. What is your hot take?
Oh, you got more points.
On the St. Louis Cardinals.
Mm.
As most of you know, St. Louis Cardinals are being investigated by the FBI for cheating, trying to grab the inner workings of the Houston Astros, behind the scenes, wheeling and dealing, so they can, you know, make plays on that. What do you think about the St. Louis Cardinals and this cheating controversy?
I think it's more serious than I realized. You know, I heard this story and just thought, it's probably no big deal, whatever, hacking into some emails. But then you see the clip of the St. Louis Cardinals owner when he got asked, you know, he was doing a little quick interview and they asked him, do you have any knowledge of this? And his lawyer basically stepped in and was like, no more questions.
And it was like, he definitely doesn't know anything.
You have your lawyer by your side? That means you're taking it pretty serious.
I mean, I think anytime the FBI gets involved,
right,
you got to be worried a little bit. Like, why all of a sudden the FBI is like, yeah, I want to go and just investigate the St. Louis Cardinals. Maybe they think that, there'll be some day games that they can be watching while they investigate the Cardinals. I don't know. But just goes to show you, my hot take is you ain't winning unless you're cheating.
Yes. No, you ain't trying unless you're cheating.
Right. So it's like you got the Patriots, you got the Cardinals. These are some of the best teams out there. Why are they winning? Because they're walking the line. Yes, we're starting to find them. But I'm all about this. If you see a loophole, take advantage of it. Find that Asian that knows how to hack into the Houston Astros. I'm into that.
I'm struggling to figure out what exactly are they stealing that's so valuable.
Like, well, and supposedly all that information that they found, we've already known about for 3 months. So it's like, why are they going through the extra effort? They don't know how to watch the news or go on Backspin or whatever to find the information. So very strange.
Weird story. Very weird story.
Very weird story. And this final story is about the Toronto Blue Jays, your favorite team in Major League Baseball. and how the Baltimore Orioles are afraid to start a pitcher against them.
This is the weirdest story of all. So you have Wei-Yin Chen, who gets... Well, first of all, he had the best game of arguably his career.
Yep.
He pitched an eight innings
of
shutout
ball. I think
he's
a pretty poor pitcher and deserves to be in the minor leagues to begin with, but continue.
That's tough to say about a guy whose ERA is under three at the moment.
Okay, but, just checking.
So yeah, he's the best game of his career and then gets demoted immediately after for general fatigue. That sounds like some BS.
Yep.
And then just to complicate things even more, he immediately tweeted out saying... I feel fine. I feel great. I don't understand this demotion. Then his agent started tweeting out, trying to defend him, saying that I've never seen anything like this. This is such a Bush League move by the Orioles. So it certainly seems like he wasn't happy with the move. But then Buck Showalter comes out and says, yeah, Wei-Yin Chen, he really wanted to do this.
he's definitely
really struggling
behind
with fatigue. Why you didn't send him to the DL for this fatigue? I don't know. It's just all very shady and very fishy.
Yeah, very, very strange, and I think we probably both agree that this is a baloney move by the Baltimore Orioles, and that Major League Baseball needs to step in and say you can't just send a guy to the minors because you want to do it, that there has to actually be a reason, like maybe, you know, like Sean Markham giving up 12 runs.
Right.
That's fine. Send
That's
him to the minors.
That's a real reason, yes.
That's a real reason to send him to the minors. You know, to give Kevin Gausman a run at the, you know, the Blue Jays, I don't see that as a real reason to be going to the minors.
But, you know, I do wonder that maybe we just don't know what we're talking about, because who did they call up to take Wei-Yin Chen's place? Chris Parmalee, who came up and hit three home runs in his first two games.
See, so I guess that's a good point.
Buck Showalter might know what he's doing.
I mean, that brings up the whole other point of... You know, sometimes when you don't have space on your roster, you just got to get rid of something.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was maybe that's what he was thinking. We'll give Buck a call and see if he responds.
We'll see. I'm curious to see how Wei-Yin Chen responds.
We know how he's gonna respond. Period.
And now it's time for 30 Seconds with a Homer.
This week we welcome Trish from Tampa Bay, Florida. I hear you have a lot to say about your Tampa Bay Rays.
Listen, for all of those out there that thought we were just going to fall into a hole and rot like a miniature troll, you guys have another thing coming. Madden can take a flying leap. David Price is right. The price is wrong, bitch. We don't need Alex Cobb, Matt Moore, or the zebra Ben Zobrist. We do more with less than Jake. We turn silver into gold better than Rapunzel. Our crap is worth more than you.
Tell us how you really feel.
Chris Archer is like Robin Hood unleashed on the real world. Hermeyer is like a cool version of the KKK. Joey Butler is in the charge of converting the crap to gold. Evan Longoria is my husband. Hey, Carl, keep it down!
I think we're running out of time. I'll finish with the breakdown. Without Cobb, Smiley, Matt Moore, and Jake Odorizzi on the DL, the Tampa Bay Rays are second in starting rotation ERA at 3.24. They are leading the AL East. They have used 44 players, most in the majors, 16 rookies have contributed, most in the majors, and 26 pitchers, a club record, and it's only June 20th. Whatever they are doing in the water in Tampa Bay, it appears to be working.
Hey, it's Chris Welter. Don't tell Ben, but I took over Fantasy Baseball Weekly online. For the latest news and streaming pictures, hit us up on Twitter at FantasyBBWeekly. Now, let's get back to the show.
Well, Chris, I'm excited to begin my Fantasy Baseball Weekly All-Star ballot vote. And looks like I'm going to be voting for all Cincinnati Reds players.
Who are you? You're going to try to battle the Royals? You can't beat the
Todd
Royals.
Todd Frazier. He's going all the
way.
He
should be on there. I know.
Johnny Cueto. I just think it's funny. It's like, it's such a great marketing tool for the Kansas City Royals to, you know, ignite their fan base to the point where, you know, literally every single player is dominating the All-Star ballot vote. That is an accomplishment from the Royals marketing team.
Yeah, I'm with you. Props to the Royals. You know, this is the voting system. And I think what you're talking about is that the Royals currently have almost every starting position on the All-Star team filled by a Royal.
Except for Mike Trout.
He's the only exception. and they're doing this purely because it's an online voting system that you can vote something like 30 or 40 times a day. So they're putting in the hard work. So props to them. But I thought it'd be interesting to look at their fantasy impact. These players who are about to be our AL All-Stars, you know, why are they winning? They're actually 2.5 games up in their division right now. Is this all a fantasy, or is it a fallacy, or those words mean the same thing? So
I'm pretty sure a fallacy has something to do with penis. Am I wrong?
Nope, nope. You have phallic on the brain,
okay,
my friend.
Just checking.
But just to go over these players who are, again, your current AL All-Stars, this is based on the player radar on ESPN.
I just voted for Ichiro.
Good. Okay. He might win. The Asian vote has a big pull. So Sal Perez is your current catcher for the AL All-Star. He's actually the fifth best catcher in the AL. Eric Hosmer is also your starting first baseman for the AL. He's the fourth best first baseman. Omar Infante is where it really gets weird because he is a starting All-Star at the moment, and
But he did get a double last night, so I think that should hopefully increase his votes by 2 million.
Sure. Well, he is barely in the top 50 of fantasy in the AL of outfielders.
Wow.
So the top 100 of outfielders. He's pretty terrible. But then continuing on here, Alcides Escobar is your third best shortstop in the AL for fantasy numbers. Mike Moustakas is your fourth best, and that includes A-Rod at third, which no one's going to vote for A-Rod.
No.
Let's be real here.
Screw A-Rod.
Even Lorenzo Cain is your fifth best outfielder in the AL right now, and Alex Gordon is the 20th best outfielder. So I just thought this was interesting because when you hear that the Royals are all filling the All-Star spots, you think, that's terrible. That's crazy. That should never happen. But then you look at the fact they're leading their division. They're in the World Series last year.
Mm-hmm.
And these numbers are rather good. You have a borderline top five player at every single position. So maybe the Royals do deserve to be there. Maybe they're getting credit for playing well as a team.
Is that your hot take today, Chris, that you believe that the Kansas City Royals should have their starting lineup in the All-Star game?
Well, no. I can't say that I'm for this. I think it's cool. It's a funny story. I'm just trying to show that there might be more to this than we're realizing.
No, I think that the team itself, and I think that Kansas City Royals as a team are great.
Yeah.
There's nobody on that team that, you know, you're like, yes, he should be in the All-Star
right.
game.
There's no Mike Trout.
There's no Mike Trouts. You know, there's no Miguel Cabreras. There's there's not the guys that you just think about like, yes, he is the greatest player at his position. You know, Albert Pujols is doing some nice things in the National League. He deserves to get in there.
Right.
Doesn't relate to the American League, but I just wanted to say the Pujol. We hadn't said Pujol for a few minutes. But, you know, the Royals as a team are playing very well. Surprising to some, as most people thought they were going to fall back after their kind of crazy run to the World Series. And I don't know. If eight Royals start the All-Star game, I think it will be teaching Major League Baseball that you can't just take advantage of the public. You know, they're saying, hey, you can vote every 20 seconds.
Their voting system is asinine. So I hope they fix it because you should only be able to vote once a day, maybe 30, 40 times a day.
I mean, even once a day seems kind of crazy. I mean, back in the
one vote per person seems smart, right?
I think that seems the most likely thing that you should do. I mean, back when you had to send in ballots, I guess you could still send in multiple ballots, but that's a process. You got to buy a stamp. You do all these things. Right now, all you have to do is go on the internet and just keep hitting submit. All right, type in 0.005. Submit, type in .. You know, that type of thing. I think
more points. I know.
Yeah, I want to throw that out there, but it's just it's such a, because I mean they're making money for every time somebody goes to their website because they can put advertisements on that website.
That's definitely what it is.
So they're basically just making money, and now they're saying, okay, well, we're going to cancel 65 million votes because they're flawed. No, what's flawed is that you're making a ton of money off of the public, and now we're saying, okay, well, if you're going to make this money, we're going to prove that this system is flawed so that Major League Baseball doesn't just make that cash. And I think that's phenomenal. I think the Kansas City Royals should all be in the All-Star game. Let's prove a point today. I will jump on the Royal bandwagon. I actually just submitted my All-Star ballot, and I put in 6 Royals. So I wasn't willing to go the full 8.
So you cut out Omar Infante. That's good.
I cut out Omar Infante. I thought Devin Travis deserved that spot. You know, it got confusing.
So I thought it would be a good exercise to figure out, why are the Royals so good? What's going on here? They don't have a superstar, but they keep on winning. And some of these things actually are very fantasy relevant. So the stat that jumps out the furthest off the page for the Royals is that they have the least strikeouts in the majors as a team right now. They only have 371 strikeouts as of yesterday. And that is 70 less than the next best team, the Red Sox.
That's pretty impressive.
So not only did they lose amount of strikeouts.
By saying that's impressive, I'm impressed that the Red Sox are on that list as well.
Yeah, that surprised me as well. Yeah. but no, they are not only striking out the least, but by a large margin. And I think that's a main reason why they have the 13th most runs at 282. Because they're just making contact. They're putting the ball into play. And that's going to sort of increase your amount of runs. And so, you know, where is this fantasy relevant? If you have a starting pitcher, don't expect a lot of strikeouts against the Royals because they just don't strike out. They just don't strike out as a team.
And that's a statistic that not enough people who play fantasy baseball analyze, whether you're starting a pitcher and looking for the strikeouts or whether you're starting a batter and looking for somebody that is not going to strike out and put the ball in play, you might want to grab a Kansas City Royal from the bench.
Right, and what's most intriguing, the fact that the Royals have that 13th most runs in the majors, they are not hitting home runs. They actually are 27th out of 30 in home runs. So they're literally doing it just by putting that ball into play. Now, on the flip side, I wanted to talk about Toronto a little bit because...
You always want to talk about the Blue Jays.
Well,
I get it.
They're kind of having an incredible offensive year. They have the most runs in the majors this year, and they have 70 more than the second best team.
Wow.
Okay, so that's another margin that they're not just beating everybody in runs, they're destroying everybody. It's not even close. So that's another one where you just should not be playing your pitchers against Toronto. Just don't do it. But... even more interesting, do you know who's second place, Ben? Who has the second most runs in the majors this year?
The Boston Red Sox.
Definitely not. Definitely not. No, it's actually Billy Beane's Oakland Athletics.
Wow. How are they pulling that off? Probably in the same way Kansas City Royals are pulling it off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they've always been a big on-base percentage team. But overall, I have no idea. I have no idea how Oakland's doing that. Considering the team is terrible, they're losing a bunch of games. So it's not working for them in the long run. But that's something to consider. Maybe you don't want to play your pitchers against Oakland.
See, and I always pick pitchers that are going up against Oakland.
You would, right? Yeah.
That's why I'm not a smart person.
So, well, I don't think anybody would have realized that. So it's just something to point out that the Oakland Athletics are not an easy matchup like you may have thought. And just one last note here. The teams that strike out the most, so these are teams that you'll want to play your pitchers against to get strikeouts. In order, we have Houston, the Chicago Cubs, Seattle, San Diego, the Rangers, and then Milwaukee. Those teams love to whiff.
So moral of the story about the All-Star voting, Mike Moustakas should be the leading vote getter.
No, none of that, no. No, I don't want to see all these players. I get that it's the home team for the Royals, but you were just in the World Series. Calm down, guys. You've got enough fame already.
Get out your trunks. We're going swimming. The deep dive on Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Todd Frazier, the Todd Father. 1998 Little League World Series champ from Toms River, New Jersey. I scouted him back in the day. But today, he's the third best player in fantasy baseball. But why? In short, he's swinging for the fences every goddamn time. Lowering his K rate by 2% doesn't hurt, but Frazier's season is all about pulling the ball and pulling it hard. His fly ball percentage is up 11%, and he's pulling those fly balls as his pull percentage is at 44%, the highest of his career. You pull the ball for power, and that's why his home run to fly ball ratio is also the highest of his career at 22%. Pulling the ball is also allowing him to hit the ball harder as his hard hit percentage is at 43.4%. In sum, New Jersey's amazing. The Todd Father, Mike Trout, Bon Jovi, Bruce, John Stewart. What else do you need?
Hey guys, it's Franny. How do you start your day? Because I start mine with some coffee and Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Fantasy Baseball Weekly, we are back for the final segment. Again, we record this episode on June 20th, 2015. Excited watching some baseball on this Saturday afternoon. Joining me is Chris Welter. And Chris, this is the best part of the show for me, and I think for most of our fans, because we get to dive into just how good of a picker of players you are. It is important to note that you are not out there picking the Edwin Encarnaciones. You're not picking the Josh Donaldsons.
No, I'd say I make a point to pick players that are probably available in your league.
That are pointiful. Plentiful? Is that... No, that doesn't work
as well. It flopped pretty hard there.
Okay. But any hooser. So you decided this week to pick... you thought you'd be creative and you would pick a couple catchers. Nobody likes catchers. I mean, I think if from the beginning, you know, when we were doing our drafting on our weekly leagues, you say, okay, just throw away the catchers, which in a sense works for this because this is the throwaway position. You're picking some guys that you could grab for a week, get rid of them, pick up a different.
Well, that was kind of my point. A lot of people end up drafting their catcher and literally ignoring him for the whole season, and they don't realize they could actually upgrade at that spot if they pay attention. So I tried to help him out last week.
And there is some decent upgrades. I mean, I almost picked a catcher that isn't on your list as one of my guys for this week that I felt could do really well and has had a real nice week. Wilson Ramos.
I think
he's somebody that you could have picked last week and maybe had better success. But the guys that you picked, let's dive in.
Sure.
Okay? So from last week, you picked Miguel Montero. He's from the Chicago Cubs. Let's keep in mind, the Cubs scored 17 runs during a game last week.
I know, but he wasn't in that game. I got hosed.
Okay, so it sounds like he wasn't in that game, which hurt you a
yes,
little bit.
Yes, it definitely did.
So Miguel Montero went 3 for 13. Yeah, that's roughly .227 batting average. One home run. Yes, he sat out that 17-0 game. Not a lot of statistics there. Travis d'Arnaud from the Mets, 3 for 19. So now you're starting to dive into sub-200 guys. He did have a home run. 3 RBIs, 3 runs. So you got to give him credit for at least getting some RBIs, getting some runs. JT Realmuto from the Miami Marlins. He was 2 of 16, which is actually the worst of the three. He had 2 RBIs and 2 runs. So from a batting perspective, I think you actually proved that you can't pick up a better catcher because there is no good catchers to pick up.
Is that what we learned from this lesson? Is that
I think
catchers are useless, basically?
Unless you're smart enough like Ben Korn to pick up Wilson Ramos, and then you just kill it. But I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
I went out on a limb here. How did my pitcher do, though?
So your pitcher was Taijuan Walker, who I prefer to call Taijuan.
Sure.
He did well. 1 earned run, 6 Ks over 7 innings, quality start, and a win. Wow.
That's your favorite.
Yeah, that's my favorite favorite thing. So
it's been an elusive win. I haven't had a win in weeks.
I think because you got the win, I'm going to take your D-rated hitters.
Yeah, they were not good.
Combine them with an A pitcher. I'm going to give them an A. And I'm going to average them together for a B-.
All right, I'll take it. And Taijuan Walker does pitch again today, which I think he'll do very well. So it could be a great week for Taijuan Walker.
Yeah, both of us picked 2-star pitchers, but because we're recording this podcast on a Saturday in the afternoon, we have not been able to see what Taijuan did or what Robbie Ray did later today.
Okay, well, let's move on to see how you did last week, Benny Korn.
Okay.
So you did not go by any themes. You just picked some players you liked.
Mm-hmm.
Your first one was DJ LeMahieu, second baseman of the Rockies. He went 4 for 30, not great there. 5 runs, 2 RBIs, 3 steals, though.
I like the stolen bases. I told you he might have a little bit of power, a little bit of speed.
Terrible average, but it's interesting.
Okay. I mean, I thought he'd hit better. I'm not going to lie to you.
Kevin Kiermaier only batted .269, but a little bit of power, 4 runs, 2 doubles, 1 stolen base.
Hey, I'm giving you guys stolen bases. If you don't want stolen bases, don't take them. I don't care.
Your best player of the week was Chris Coughlin. Best hitter of the week, I should clarify, was Chris Coughlin. He batted .316 with 5 runs, 2 doubles.
Yeah, I think he was in the 17-run game, so that helped me.
Yeah, you know, he's interesting, not to go on a side tangent here, but he currently has the longest active playing streak of any player.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty weird. When the Cubs can't find room for Kyle Schwarber, they continue to back Chris Coughlin at cleanup hitter.
Yeah.
It's a weird scenario, but it's good for Chris Coughlin owners. And your pitcher for the week was Robbie Ray, who pitched excellent, actually. No, he almost pitched better than Tyquan Walker.
You might make a case that
he got seven innings pitched. He got the win. He got the quality start. His whip was under one. The key here, only three Ks.
So you're saying that because you got six Ks.
Ks, man. You need the Ks.
But your whip was one. Mine was .57.
No one pays attention to whip. But all in all, that's a good week, Ben. I got to give you better than me. Let's go. No home runs, I'm noticing here. So we're going to go with just a B+.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll still take the I'm better than Chris Walter. That's all I really care
about. I got two home runs from my catcher squad. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive, actually. All right, Chris, tell them who you got this week.
We are tracking Chris Walter's fantasy baseball picks, not his sleeping habits.
Let's see here. Got some good names, some middle infield help in particular, because we all know that's a tough position to fill. Justin Turner of the Dodgers has been red hot.
Oh, so this is your theme again?
No. Well, yeah, middle infield. Yeah, you know what? It's actually accidental, but I'll go with it.
Okay.
So middle infield help here. Justin Turner, I think he's second base, third base.
He does everything.
First base, he has a lot of eligibility. He's batting .438 in the last 14 days. And that coincides with when they traded Juan Uribe to open up a little playing time. So Justin Turner looks to stay in the lineup, and he is hot. I'd go grab him. Danny Espinosa of the Nationals, also second base, shortstop eligible. He just got first base eligibility as well. He's batting .333 in his last 14 days, so he could be a nice addition. And also, Luis Valbueno, this caught me off guard. I know we mentioned at the top of the show, but he has 16 home runs already.
Yeah, he's a good daily fantasy guy for me. Cheap, hits the home runs, so you can get a nice little dong out of it.
Right, he's cheap for a reason. He's batting under the Mendoza line, so yeah, he's under 200.
Just call him a poor man's Chris Carter.
Yeah, definitely. That's a rough spot to be, poor man's Chris Carter. But, you know, when he has second base and third base eligibility, he's a nice little bench player for you, so I'd go grab him. And, I do have a pitcher. I know Ben likes to get the pitchers in there. Joe Ross, who has not only taken over Tanner Roark, but done it rather spectacularly for the Nationals. He has 17 strikeouts in his last two starts, and this week he is home against Atlanta, which is a terrible squad, so I like Joe Ross this week.
Yeah, I think the thought process for Joe Ross was that he was only going to be up until Steven Strasburg came back. Well, now we're hearing the latest is that Tanner Roark's going back to the bullpen. So.
Yeah, I don't know that that's official, but when you throw 17 strikeouts in two starts, they're going to want to keep you around.
Unless you're Mr. Chen from Baltimore, then it just really doesn't matter.
Yes, Chen got screwed.
And what I will give you this week is a good friend of the show, Chris Parmalee. We've talked about him quite a bit during this show. He actually does not know that we exist, but I like to call him a friend of the show. Chris Parmalee, you know, four games, three home runs, on a hot streak. I'm not going to, you know, throw out there that he's a good player yet.
Okay.
But he's on a hot streak. I think you should ride the hot streak. Watch him closely. As long as he stays in the two-hole, play him. If he's out of the two-hole, get rid of him.
Would you say you made it a point to get him on your list today?
I definitely made a point
okay.
to put him on the list. Clint Robinson, he's the first base for Nationals, filling in for Mr. Zimmerman. Had a nice week in fill-in, and I think we can expect much the same from Mr. Clint Robinson.
He's been batting cleanup while Bryce Harper's out.
Yeah, so that hasn't hurt either. And Gerardo Parra, another two-hole guy for the Brewers. He's going to give you more speed than power. But a good average, good speed, might get you a couple of stolen bases and available in most leagues. And from the pitching perspective, we got to go with our boy, Tommy Maloney. Tommy Malone, you first heard about Tommy Malone when me and producer Rick were talking. We're both huge Tommy Malone fans.
Right.
So he's a pitcher from Minnesota, formerly of the Oakland Athletics. Playing the Chicago White Sox in Minnesota. I feel good about Tommy, and he's had a couple really good starts in a row, so I think we're going to see some big things from old Tommy Maloney.
Well, all right. Those are some good names. I hope we can help out the listeners.
Do we want to make a wager on whose are better?
Oh, interesting. Sure. I'll throw down.
25 cents?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Free entry into a daily fantasy league?
Well, I'm...
I don't know how to do that either. Let's just stick with 25 cents. 25 cents
a quarter, right? We're not rich men here, Ben. Let's keep it easy.
We'll play in a quarter for dollars. You can just give me 25 cents.
I don't even know what that meant. Quarters for dollars, 25 cents. Look, I got a quarter coming my way. That's all I know.
And that's all. Wait, no. It's the bet's been placed.
Yeah, just give me the quarter now.
Tell people who's the 2-star pitchers.
Oh, good call. I thought the show was done, but here we are, talking 2-star pitchers. It's actually a really rough week this week. I know last week we had a ton of 2-star pitchers. It was a struggle for me to find anybody interesting. So I got 3 guys for you. Mike Fiers. He's been a little bit up and down, but he definitely strikes guys out, and I like his matchups. He's home against the Mets and home against the Twins. Jonathan Nease of the Mets is at Milwaukee and then versus Cincinnati. And I just realized I set you up to have Mike Fiers versus John Nease. That's not always a good way to go. But again, it was a tough week.
Hey, pick which one you like the best.
But Nease has 3 straight quality starts, so he might be turning a corner this year. Then lastly, we have Hector Santiago, who by all intents and purposes has been very lucky this season.
I'm pretty sure he's really good.
But he is versus Houston. And we learned earlier in the year, earlier in the show, that Houston strikes out a lot. And he is also against Seattle, who is a struggling offense. So I like Hector Santiago.
And Seattle was number 3 or 4 on that strikeout list as well.
Yes, they were very high, yeah.
But I would also kind of monitor that pick because Santiago is starting to let him go. He had a tough outing, so he's not playing like he once did. And I will give you just from a daily perspective, who are the hot pitchers for K's in the last 2 weeks? Chris Sale leads the league in K's over the last 14 days.
He is 26. On fire.
Max Scherzer, 23. Kershaw, 22. Cole Hamels, 19. Jacob DeGrom, 19. David Price, 19. Who's leading the league in whip over the last 14 days? Vidal Nuno had a nice game. Francisco Liriano has been doing real well. Travis Wood, Anibal Sanchez, and Chris Sale. So there's a couple names to kind of keep in mind, especially when you're playing like DraftKings. If you're not giving up hits, you're just racking up points. So look for those guys that both
Anibal Sanchez in particular might be turning it around right now.
And yeah, he also gave up no earned runs over 16 innings. So Watch out for big Anibal. And some, should we do some batters for you guys? The top batters in home runs over the last 14 days. Giancarlo Stanton. He has 7 over the last. Let me hit my hole. Luis Valbuena has 4 over the last 14 days. JD Martinez, another underappreciated guy, 4 in the last 14 days. Pujols, 6. Carlos Gonzalez has 6. Carlos Gonzalez isn't even hitting the ball for average, but he's at least stroking the bombs. And Manny Machado, we were talking about, I think, off air. Manny Machado is killing it right now. Wilson Ramos, who I wanted to pick up for last week as a catcher, he has 4. Mike Trout, Joey Votto, Jose Bautista, Salvador Perez, all these guys also have 4 in the last 2 weeks. And on the opposite side of things, if you're looking for stolen bases, Billy Hamilton, of course, he has 8 over the last 2 weeks. Jose Reyes, Ben Revere with 5. And then you have Kevin Kiermaier, Carlos Correa, Starling Marte, Denard Spant, and Cameron Maben with 4. So just, throwing out some names for people who might be looking for certain things. Okay? And who do you think's leading the league in average over the last 14 days that has hit more, has more than 20 plate appearances?
Wow, I feel like I mentioned him earlier in the show.
You may have.
Justin Turner.
His name is Justin Turner. Congratulations, Chris Welter. Second is Miguel Cabrera. He's batting .436 over the last 2 weeks. And then George Springer, .426.
Yes. His average is up to .270, .280. He's going to be a top 10 outfielder this year. Good Lord.
Yeah, George Springer's had a real nice. He's the 9th best player overall right now. So George Springer... Definitely somebody you want to be playing. He likes the leadoff position for the Astros, and he's taking advantage of it. And right now, Manny Machado, number one ranked player over the last 2 weeks.
I believe it. He is a full breakout mode right now.
All right, Chris. Well, I feel good.
I feel good, too. I want to thank our new mascot.
That's true. We didn't get back to talk more about who.
It's okay. He doesn't need much talking. He's a pretty stoic character, this Who the Owl.
I like how you just had Who staring at me throughout this whole process.
He's pretty creepy. We'll tweet him out so everyone can see how creepy just he is.
All right, so thank you, Who. Thank you, Chris Wilter. I am Ben Korn, and thank you for shipping up to Dorchester, Massachusetts, Boston.